Turn to the final chapter of the book of Hosea. In fact, we'll read the final verse of the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. The prophet there says, "Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." And so we'll bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us as we consider his word tonight. Father, we praise you this evening. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege that we might sing to you, Father, here momentarily, that we might lift our hands and our voices and worship to you, Father. We can come before your throne of grace boldly, seeking the mercy and the provision for the needs that we all have. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can learn and know of you, that your people, always your people, have been given this opportunity. So help us not to take that for granted, but to take that privilege for what it is, a provision from the hand of the Almighty and Eternal God. And let us apply it to our lives now, that we might profit by it for eternity. Bless us as we consider it this evening, and draw us together in fellowship, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a simple admonition, simple consideration for all members of the body of Christ in their respective roles, whatever that might be tonight. I've made the statement quite often, from various perspectives and various applications, but I've made the statement often that the way of righteousness is simple. Not always is it easy. In fact, much of the time it's anything but easy to walk in righteousness, but so often it is very, very simple. The Lord makes his desire for us on a broad spectrum, on a broad level, under a broad umbrella of simplicity, what righteousness is. And I stand by that statement, and I feel supported in that statement, based on this scripture, this passage here, and a number of other places, but the simple truth of the simplicity of truth, as I've titled this lesson tonight. Now, verse 9 doesn't mention anything about salvation, doesn't mention anything about justification or the bride or ranks in the resurrection or baptism or even any of those things that we consider quite simple. It doesn't mention any of those things, but what it does do is it points to those things, points to the things that this book teaches about. Now, I'm not going to give you a whole lesson on Hosea tonight, but it does consider a number of different things. Hosea does. He presents a lot of different things, that particularly with the hindsight and with the lens of the New Testament and the understanding of Paul's teachings and who Jesus is, we can look at Hosea with a different perspective than the ones that it was written to and for in that day. But that being said, we'll get to a number of those things here in just a moment, but it speaks to the approach to such things, the approach to salvation, the approach to justification. This verse, this very small little scripture, it speaks to the approach of the things of God, and it speaks of the justification of that approach. If you look at the first half of this verse here, in verse 9, what does it say there? It says, "Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them." The verse speaks to those who are wise or would be wise, desire to be wise and prudent. Those ones who would be intellectually sound, intelligent, and have a measure of good judgment. Those ones who want to be so, at the very least. And Hosea tells them what to do. He says, understand and know these things. Okay, what things are they to learn and understand? What things are we to learn and understand? Well, if you take the book of Hosea, you can see things like this. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 says this: "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy." He's talking about the land, talking about those ones who are occupying there where the Lord had given them. "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." Move to verse 6 of that same chapter. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." In other words, sin was prevalent in Israel in that time. Sin was prevalent, and it was being partaken of by God's people. And at the same time, God's word was being dismissed. So, in keeping with the theme of recent studies, exchanging I don't need God's word. I'll take this over here instead. It was an issue. That was part of the problem that he was speaking of, just addressing just merely in this book by this man, Hosea, to the people of Israel. Now, as God does through his people, oftentimes he teaches the answer to that as well. If you flip a couple pages to Hosea chapter 6, the first verse of Hosea 6 says, here's what you should do. Come and let us return to the Lord, he says. Well, let me see if I can get there. Did I not give it to you? There it is. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Hosea 14 says this at the beginning of that opening chapter that we read from. He says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. This is what has happened. Own it. Take ownership of it. This is the trouble. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. Yes, Hosea spoke about sin. Generalized sin, certainly. But specific individual sins, you can read about it throughout that book. He also speaks about the forgiveness of such sins. He speaks about grace. He speaks about judgment yet to come. He speaks about the Messiah yet to come. Again, we can have a better understanding of it, knowing of that Messiah that did indeed come. He spoke of many more things as well, and the wise and the discerning in that day, and the wise and discerning of today, should indeed know these things, should have learned these things, should have desired to receive and learn those things to the measure that it was possible for them. And so, that's what he was dealing with. And so then it goes on to speak to the justification of that, the reason for that, why that is what we should indeed do. And it's quite straightforward. Back in our verse, the second half. First and foremost, the ways of the Lord are right. It just sometimes comes down to that, right? The ways of the Lord are right. We just had this election that took place here recently, and whatever side you stood on, whatever camp you might have found yourself, if you found yourself in a camp at all, I'll qualify it that way. If you found yourself in greater support of either of those candidates or any other candidates, well, you found that not everything that either of them said was right. Not everything that either of them said was 100% factual. Not everything that either of them said was at all true. I'm grateful for a God that we know the ways of his are right, all of them. Everything that he does. There's no qualifier there. There's no exception there. There's no caveat there. It feels like maybe just a throwaway passage there, but it's not. Absolutely etched in stone and absolute sterlingness of this statement. The ways of the Lord are right. There is no exception. I try to do right, man. I try to adhere to the things that I preach. I try to adhere to the things that the Lord calls me to, and I trust that you do too. But we don't always get it right. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, because we have all this stuff on us, this flesh. Every single way of the Lord is right. Every single way that he has is to be adhered to. Every single way that he has, that he does, every word of his is perfect and good and just and right. And without exception, the righteous walk in them. Transgressors stumble in them. This means that if you are a child of God, you should live as one. The righteous should be walking in these things. If you aren't walking in, let me just say it this way, the unrighteous cannot walk in them. But the ones who do know him, the ones who have been made pure, they've been given the right to walk in this way. The right to be righteous. If you're a child of God, you should live as a child of God. If you've been made righteous, you should live righteously. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says in part there, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? There should never be a dance between godliness, the new creation, and the old creation. They should never come together in harmony. The old creation doesn't want what the new creation wants. It doesn't happen. There should never be a concession. It's just they're mutually exclusive is what they are. The flesh can't understand the things of the Spirit. Some things are mutually exclusive, and I'll get right down to it. Some of the things that God says to us, in fact, many of the things that he says to us that are exclusive of sin are entirely obvious as well. Obvious, because we have that new man. We have that new creation. And we know What you call conscience, what different people call conscience, what different people call a gut feeling, what different people call just a pit in their stomach, well, we call the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because He speaks to us. And He has shown to us, and even if by osmosis, what an idiot little kid I was. What an idiot teenager I was, sitting in, not this place, but this place in figure, listening and hearing the rightly divided word of truth, not paying attention for anything, counting ceiling tiles, imagining chandeliers that are hanging from the ceiling and who they would drop and crush if they were to, if I had heat vision that I could break them and drop them on whomever's head, instead of sitting and listening to the word of God. And understanding those things. And yet, by spiritual osmosis, right? That amphibious work where the water that is the Spirit flows in, or I guess you could say flows out, rivers of living water, from within. And I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. Well, it is just one of those things where the child of God, even the righteous, can find themselves mimicking the transgressors who stumble in the ways of the Lord, who find themselves struggling with doctrine after doctrine, finding difficulty with truth after truth, even though such truths can be plainly obvious, plainly clear to us, plainly spelled out and delineated, and in our heart of hearts we recognize this absolutely is the truth of God. And yet, sometimes we push back on what's clearly presented in Scripture. Sometimes we try to find a loophole to explain away something because it's just simpler for us. Or we don't have to present that or hold fast to this that is broadly not accepted by those who are around us. Always trying to, well, some are always trying to explain away what doesn't make sense. Or push away what doesn't make sense. Or those things that perhaps we don't want to make sense. Because they go against our sensibility. Saints, if we stumble at the things that God says are simple, if we stumble and trip over those things that God has said, this is simple, then we mimic the transgressors. And all too many of God's people in the body of Christ stumble and trip over those things that shouldn't be stumbled, that are wide open. Here is a trip hazard. It's not like in Vietnam where those trip wires were put it just so delicately and so secretively and so hidden. These things are wide out in front of us, so many of these things. And yet we find ourselves struggling at those things. God's people do. The unbeliever and the rejecter of faith, the one who denies God, stumbles at the things of God because they have no interest or no understanding of those, even if they're simple to understand. And God's people should not be so. There are those ones always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we can't imitate these ones, always curious and always wondering and always questioning those things that God makes so very plain and so very easy to grab onto and apply to our own lives. Saints, overall, there are a lot of difficult things in Scripture. Don't get me wrong. Paul said, or Peter says about Paul, difficult things here that Paul writes about, difficult to understand, difficult to get. And it's true, those things are difficult. But by and large, speaking of the umbrella, overall, God makes it easy for us, simple for us. Let me make sure I get my own quote right. Makes it simple for us to know wrong, right. Unrighteous, righteous. And in those times when we don't know exactly, we fall back on what we do know. And we establish ourselves on that foundation so that we don't, well, while we're waiting to know exactly the details, we can find ourselves bolstered up by the truth that we are very well understood of. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Saints, he doesn't promise that everything's going to be easy. Doesn't promise it's going to be a cakewalk. But he does keep the fundamentals for us quite simple. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Micah 6:8 went to this a couple days ago. He's shown you what is good. He has presented to you what is good. Use it as the guideline. Use it as the standard. What you can find and what you can compare, what you can know, this is not good because it doesn't match up. He's shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? God's people can know and understand, and oftentimes do know and understand a substantial measure of the overall will, word, and way of God. Because we are righteous, may we not push aside those things that He has made simple for us to hold on to and bring in. May we always, always seek to be discerning and hang on to what He has made simple for us to understand.